Hello, greetings, friends. It's Monday, October 17th. It's Chapo Trap House coming at you. Just like to start off the show today with a big thank you to everyone who came out to see us on Broadway on Friday, our New York show. It was a joy, and special thanks to Stav and 95 Bowls for guesting with us. And hey, if you're in the South Florida region of the country and like an experience, oh, I'll just say very similar to the one I just described, then tickets are still available to see us at Revolution in Fort Lauderdale on, was it October 31st?
October 30th.
I'm excited for Florida, just as I was excited and honored and proud to perform in Chicago and LA. The three theaters that we've done and will do this tour that I can confirm for a fact have never had a ritualistic child murder take place in the venue. The three That's venues great. On tour that have never had a ritualistic child murder or told me to stop vaping on stage.
That's the Chapo guarantee.
Okay, yeah. I spoke with engineers over the weekend. It would be impossible for me to set off the fucking fire alarm vaping from the stage.
I did it.
Yeah, he did it. Will did it in Iowa.
Yeah, in backstage, not on the stage.
Mm.
It's right. impossible yeah, to do on the stage.
Tall ceilings there. Hard to imagine.
Like, yeah, maybe edit out the thing where I imply that a child has been murdered at the theater we did, at the town hall, the birthplace of the Tea Party Town Hall movement, Town Hall Theater. But they are liars. They lied about vaping technology. Well, I literally spoke with an engineer. Want to make this clear.
Despite that, I would like to thank the Town Hall Theater for our largest ever live show. It was our biggest audience ever. And of course, it was on the Great White Way, Broadway. But the tour, the Road Warriors, are taking a little break now. The boys are back in L.A. Chris and I are back in New York. Time to sort of reset, reload, and just continue on with our life. Before we start today, Matt, would you like to share with our listeners, would you like to give a special shout out to the Good Samaritan who helped you on your journey back to Los Angeles?
Oh my God, this is insane that this happened. I still can't get over this. So I was going to take the train to JFK yesterday because I had plenty of time, but I had to go to the bathroom, as often happens with me. So I went to Macy's in downtown Brooklyn, and when I was pulling my pants up, I realized I didn't have my
number
phone.
Number one or number two?
Number two, of course. and I pulled my pants up, realized I didn't have my phone in my pocket, and also that one of my pockets had a hole in them. So I realized it had fallen out somewhere while I was trying to find a bathroom, and I completely was freaking out. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm screwed. Have no phone. Yet can't call anybody because I don't know their numbers, even if I could get to a phone. Was trying to figure out what to do. I ended up just going back to the hotel that I'd already checked out of, hoping that they could call me a car or something. And as soon as I come through the door, all wet and frazzled, the woman behind the desk, I say, "Hi, I'm Matt Crispin. I just checked out." And she's like, "You lost your phone." I'm like, "What? Yes, but not here." And she calls this number and she gives me the phone. And this guy had found it on the ground outside of the Macy's. And he couldn't get into it, obviously. And he didn't know what to do. But then my email notification from the hotel popped up on the screen. So he figured I might still be there, and he called them and left his number. And then I was able, because I went back just randomly, was able to get in touch with him. I honestly felt like God had kissed me on the forehead in the form of Hollis. So shout out to Hollis, my brother for life, for that one.
Hollis, a true Good Samaritan, a New York City champion. Thank you for helping Matt. He did not secure his hobo bindle properly before trying to get on the subway. He was shambling around Brooklyn with just like, you know, a boot with one big hole and his toes sticking out of it.
I don't know. Like,
his beans are falling everywhere.
Yeah. The fact that, like, I mean, this is a great story, but also the fact that the hole in your pants was that big, like for most people, for most people, that's like, all right, that's the end of me using these as pants. But he's like,
I didn't know
like
it was
Mark,
there.
You're like a Mark Twain protagonist.
It just showed up. I don't know how it happened. And it was not like they were old, bedraggled pants. They're relatively new. I blame it on planned obsolescence and capitalism.
Are these pants, are they the Amazon Essentials fashion label?
Either that or Kroger. I don't know.
Did you get these pants at a grocery store, Matt?
Look, it doesn't matter where I got them. What matters is that I now know that there is a hole in them, and I will make sure not to put anything in that pocket anymore.
Oh, Matt, I wish the money changed you. I wish the money changed you.
Well, it's just like when you buy more expensive pants, it takes many years for that to happen to them, if ever. That is just like, that is, it's like Red Wing boots. They're the only boots you need your entire life.
I guess. I'm a penny wise, pound foolish type of person. I always used to buy like one roll of toilet paper at a time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm an idiot. What do you want from me?
Well, I will say cheers. Cheers to Hollis from Brooklyn for getting Matt out of a tight jam with his just generally good Samaritan type behavior and attitude. You know, there's still good people in the world. So cheers to Hollis, but jeers to President Joe Brandon for fucking up my travel to New York. thanks to his woke Force One, I was not able to leave Southern California in time to make my connecting flight to New York and had to spend 12 hours overnight in, yes, the Denver International Airport, the most demonic of all airports in the world. I spent the whole fucking night in that airport thanks to Woke Force One and President Joe Brandon. Let's go. Let's go, Brandon, for fucking up my travel plans. I did not find any of the deep underground military bases, unfortunately, but luckily I was able to make it to New York in time.
Did you see the gargoyle?
I didn't see shit. I was just in Terminal B. I was just posted up. I had a beer, just watched some shit on my computer, tried to fall asleep. I got to say, the Denver International Airport felt about as malevolent as any other airport I've ever been in.
Yeah, that's how they get you. I was going to ask, like, did you go through any, like, ghost decontamination process before you came home?
No. They gave me
home with you.
They gave me toothpaste and a water bottle, and that's it. Was it holy water? I don't know.
No, I mean, like, you go to an evil airport like that, you gotta de-louse yourself.
Ghosts flee the body above 10,000 feet, though. So they flushed out once they got above the weather.
Yeah, who's saying that? The Denver airport, the people that want to spread ghosts?
I am reasonably sure I'm ghost clear, but, you know, I mean, if there's a test I can take, I will.
I like that the Denver airport, like, one of the reasons people think it's like an evil airport, that the mural with like the NWO soldier killing all the children, that's like a hippie mural. That's like an aging Denver hippie commissioned that because he's like, oh, that's what the world is. It's greedy men fighting wars and killing children. But people see that and they're like, oh, they endorse this.
Well, as it's been explained to me, the two weird eyebrow-raising details about the Denver International Airport are A, how long it took to construct, and B, how far away it is from Denver itself, and I guess C, the fact that there's already an airport in Denver and they didn't really need to build this other airport that took an inordinately long amount of time to construct and is suspiciously far away from the city itself. I'm, you know, deep underground military base? Probably. That's what I'm betting on. Survival arc for the world elite.
It also has a giant horse sculpture that killed its maker.
Yes. Yes.
I like that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That was Mr. Hands. Yeah. Well, like many Polish people, was outwitted and defeated in single combat by a bronze statue. And then they memorialized him. Yeah, no. I think it's actually something pretty boring. Like, it's an underground base. Like, that's linked to a Cold War policy that no longer has any meaning or relevance.
Yeah, like the Greenbrier or whatever, where they got like a bunch of Van Camp's pork and beans in case like Sam Rayburn has to take over the country after a nuclear strike.
Oh man, we went to the Greenbrier on a family vacation when I was like 7. It was one of our weird family vacations.
That's an amazing place just to like check it out.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. No, we stayed there. It was like,
oh, sweet.
I don't know who picked that one. I remember kind of liking it, but yeah, you even as a 7-year-old, you're like, oh, I can tell that they were going to repopulate the Earth here.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they're like, Sam, because you're Speaker of the House and acting president, you get to fuck the harem first. And he's like, oh boy,
I sure can't wait. Sounds fun.
Oh, wow.
Felix, didn't you also say on a family vacation that you took when you were a kid to the South with your family that your dad was walking around sort of doing the opposite of the Liam Neeson in Dublin thing?
Yeah, okay. First of all, I want to clarify. I was saying Sam Rayburn, not my brother Sam, in that joke. I want to clarify that. I just realized that people could misinterpret that. Second of all, yes, we went on a road trip of the South when I was I think 13 or 14. My brother and sister were away at college. And before the road trip through the Deep South with me, my mom, and my dad had read like only books like Ghosts of Mississippi. So every time he saw like a white person over than 50, he'd just like glare at him.
Byron D. LeBeckwith. Just looking for James Woods.
Yeah, he just, I mean, he's probably right, you know?
Yeah.
He was probably right about that. But like, you know, then pick a different vacation.
I just want a mean mug old man in overalls for a weekend. Yeah. That sounds like fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a little time to rest and recharge before Florida. Very much looking forward to our Halloween show down in Fort Lauderdale to close out this tour. But the news must go on. So I guess let's start because he's back in the news, folks. And this is another vindication that, once again, we were right. Kanye West over the weekend threatening to finally disclose Jewish business secrets. Felix, are you nervous?
Well, like, okay, so he said he's going to disclose the rabbi's treasure and more modern Jewish business secrets that are not tied to, you know, ox polling and rudimentary banking, sort of Baumbachian Jewish business secrets. But I think he's bluffing. I don't think he knows them. Like,
I mean, he referred to the Jewish business secret of owning property.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so he's referring to this like late period Jay-Z song called 444, where Jay-Z's like, you know why Jewish people are rich? Because they buy buildings. In just another excruciatingly boring Jay-Z song where he raps the entire contents of his Morgan Stanley retirement portfolio.
I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
That's not really a secret, you know? And I don't think that Kanye knows the actual ones. Because do you remember like the first time that he annoyed everyone with his mental illness? He was like, I'm $78 million in debt. And then Kim Kardashian, because of all the money she made from her gacha game, like paid off his debt. That's just not a man who understands financial secrets, in my opinion. Well, and he just bought Parler.
Yeah, I was going to say, for a guy who understands business secrets, buying the right-wing social media app Parler, of which Candace Owens' husband is an investor in, does not strike me as business secrets of the pharaohs.
Do you know how many followers Kanye has on Parler?
How many?
5,000 of last I read. That's a fucking ghost town.
God damn, ghost can town. Imagine having Candace Owen be your fucking Grima Wormtongue. That's brutal.
Sucks.
I mean, he just got like the George Floyd died of fentanyl shit from her. Like that's just directly from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's just repeating what she told him.
He also got the bot. He also got buy my husband's company from her.
Yeah.
I like he's finally found a new form of Nation of Islam and Black Israel and stuff that like hates Black people as much as Jews.
Yeah.
It's just like it's Black Israelitism where it's like we're the real Jews, but that's one of the reasons we're bad. Honestly, it's the same thing that happened with Alex Jones, where he takes something interesting, in this case, one of the more interesting and fun American ideologies invented in the 20th century, and just fucking debones it until it's being a regular Republican.
Yeah, I do like that he's basically reverse engineered NOI to be like, Dr. Jacob was right to make white people.
Yeah.
The snow apes have some good points.
Well, we can look for it. I mean, I just like you know, buying Parler. You know, I mean, like these leeches are just. I don't think they're going to take all his money, but they've certainly taken like most of the respect he once had at this point. What is he going to be left with after? I don't know. Maybe the White House. Who knows?
I don't know. He's not, because it's like he's the deeper he goes into politics, the more it is because of like a Candace Owens or Candace Owens' weird husband. And the deeper that he goes into that, the more of like any originality or that X factor that he brings goes away. Like we talk about how Trump, you know, he captured lightning in a bottle because he took being a celebrity and that actual celebrity TV experience and combined it with like touching the third rail of immigration that the GOP base wanted. But there are also unique original things about his personality and what he brought that were irreplicable. There are intangibles, the way that he attacked Jeb, like his sense of humor, the weird phraseology. I think that is as important to anything as, you know, immigration or whatever. Anything that like gave Kanye his hideously annoying fan base, the more that he touches politics, the more it goes away. The content of his diatribes is now just, there's nothing unique about it. He just sounds like all those other guys, except for like, I guess the Jewish stuff.
He's willing to be more explicit about that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Another sort of a hurdle to clear for his presidential ambitions that I think you've identified, Felix, is basically it would involve winning the White House without a single woman voting for you. And that's something you really do need to have in order to win a national election. Because, like, you know, it's like a Kanye Kim Kardashian presidential race may see the total racial depolarization of American politics and the complete genderfication of America, the gender polarization of American politics.
He would get a dearth of women, but I'm not even sure. Like, I remember in 2016, Democrats were mad about him getting on the ballot because the implied thing was like, oh, all black people are going to vote for him. And that certainly was not the case then in the states he did get on the ballots. And it certainly will not be the case now.
Yeah,
even less so when he's even less of a celebrity. And I do not fear him winning the White House. I just don't see it as a possibility.
Well, we can put Kanye's presidential ambitions, you know, put lock that away in the closet for a while. But let's go overseas now for some political news from across the pond. And, you know, just to follow up on a story we've talked about recently.
What's happening in the UK right now has heads spinning around Europe and even in the United States, with President Biden diplomatically calling the Prime Minister's U-turn on her unpopular tax-cutting plan predictable. And even the Greek Prime Minister has joked recently about it, telling the Sunday Times that if the UK needs experience with the IMF, he's here to help, referring to the infamous Greek financial meltdown of 2010. And then there was this. When Liz Truss last week walked into her weekly audience with King Charles, he muttered, "Dear, oh dear," as he greeted her.
Your Majesty, lovely to see you again.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a great pleasure.
Our bloody bird, Liz Truss, is in a shambles right now, folks. She has a 9% approval rating right now, and it looks like Labour may take power with like 300 seats in the British Parliament for the first time, and I don't know, God knows how long.
Boris, where's Boris?
They have the Tory party in the UK has categorically failed to bring back Boris, and they are reaping the whirlwind right now.
It's their only move. It is actually their only move.
Yeah, that's what else can you do, man? It's so like it's just not fair for Keir Starmer to win.
It just isn't.
It's not right. Yeah. It's not fucking right. Like, okay, I don't think it will end well. I think it will end, you know, maybe he gets executed by one of Boris's 25 kids that he had on break while he was PM. But like, it just, that is, he has, if Liz Truss has Francois Hollande's spirit, fucking Keir Starmer has the spirit of Michael Dukakis.
This bird, come on. They've clipped her wings. They've clipped this bird's wings. All she wanted to do was cut taxes an outrageous amount. And she's getting, 9% approval rating for that?
Come on, man. It's unprecedented. Never been done before. It's pretty impressive.
I don't know. Yeah, the criticism is, like, she's trying to do Thatcherism without an oil boom, but what if it's even better?
What if it's Thatcherism, but done by a fit bird?
The right proper slapper.
Was Thatcher ever a fit bird in her life?
Never.
No, not no,
absolutely
one
never.
Not for a second of her time on Earth.
That's sad to hear. That's sad.
Well, you know, just once again, worth watching. Boris Watch continues.
Something's got to happen because, like, they don't have to call an election for like 2 years. That's very funny that they could just sit there and just have 0% approval rating for years and not do anything. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Can't the opposition call an election, though?
No.
Okay.
No. The government has to call an election.
Oh, okay. All right, but like,
they have to do it after like 5 years, but they're not required to unless there's some sort of like no confidence. They can't even challenge. Technically, they can't even challenge Liz Truss again, like from within her party for another 11 months.
Wait, so if they get rid of Liz Truss, won't that necessarily mean that the opposition can call an election?
It's England. I don't know. We don't know. But like, I'm pretty sure that there is. I don't know. I don't care enough. Okay. I guess is what it
here's
comes
what
down.
We do know. Why wouldn't you sit it out? Like, what's it? How much worse could it get? What's the difference between 9% approval and 0%?
It really just like, comes really down nothing. To like all the papers are yelling at me. Well, so what?
Yeah,
there's nobody in the streets. Nobody's like kicking in the door of number 10 Downing Street trying to yank you out.
Hey, if
it's just some bad news articles. Oh my God.
If the Bloody Telegraph is yelling at you today, it'll be wrapping fish and chips tomorrow. So don't worry about it. I guess one thing we can say is that it is fun to watch Great Britain turn into Italy.
It is awesome, yes.
Just like, yeah. We'll have a government for about 2 weeks, and then we'll just have a new one.
That means that there's going to be a British Berlusconi coming along to solve all these problems. And the question
Boris.
Is, who's that going to be?
Berlusconi.
Well, yeah, but he already kind of, it seems like he kind of fucked it up. Because, like, he should be back by now, honestly. Come on.
British Berlusconi has a scandal for having sex with a 29-year-old woman on a yacht.
I have one more story from the UK, but like this is actually a perfect segue into other international political news. And that's our boy Bolsonaro in Brazil is doing a great job. I mean, I know he. OK, so look, he barely survived. You know, like, look, there's going to be another vote. You know, Lula didn't get enough votes to, like, you know, put him away for good. There's going to be another round of voting. So Bolsonaro is out there and he's got to juice up support. So how does he do that? Aside from going to the hospital? No. Go on a podcast and tell an anecdote about picking up what he claims to be a 14-year-old Venezuelan sex slave.
Okay, yeah. So for some context, and this isn't like reductive. We're not breaking this down to its bare essentials to be unfair to Bolsonaro. This is literally the story he told, that he was on a motorcycle. He was on a moped. He was on the very childlessly named vehicle from GTA Vice City. It begins with a slur that begins with an F that I will not say because it's so immature. The FEO. He was riding that and he saw a 14-year-old girl. Who he then declares that he had some chemistry with.
Yes, he said we hit it off. We had good chemistry and we hit it off. So I went back to her house, you know, as one does.
Yeah. And what do you know? It's all beautiful girls like her. All a bunch of 14-year-olds and they're all from Venezuela. And I go, where are the adults? And they go, we're selling our bodies. And presumably he goes, oh, that's sad, and then rides away. Doesn't report it, this is the first we're hearing of it.
While he was president,
he had a meet cute with a 14-year-old and then saw her house and was like, I'm going to remember this someday.
And bring it up. Bring it up when I'm feeling the heat on the campaign trail.
Yeah. Bring it up on a podcast. I don't know what show he was on.
What would be the Brazilian equivalent of our show? The Rodolfo Hitler Hour?
I think like the Brazilian version of our show for right wingers, it would be like three guys who were drummed out of kind of like minor league soccer. Like the equivalent of double A soccer for like a confusing land scam.
So yeah, will this help or hurt Bolsonaro? Will this help or hurt him more or less than getting COVID again?
His campaign has bought pop-up ads and internet ads that have said, Bolsonaro é now pedofilio.
What?
Which means in Portuguese, Bolsonaro is not a pedophile.
See, that's okay. That's the wrong way to go. Yeah. I think you got to steer into the skid and you got to go with the white hat pedophile argument. You got to have a pedophile to catch the pedophiles.
Maybe he can outflank Lula from the left and be like, I was giving them agency.
I was the only, Lula is a swerf.
Yeah. It's only bad. Yeah. He should do like a sort of right wing, like sex worker inclusive for children thing where it's like, it's the only bad thing is that they were immigrants.
Yeah.
It was that they were from Venezuela.
They're taking the jobs away from Brazilian teenagers.
Yeah, but the fact that they were like 14-year-olds and like managing their own brothel, not my business.
And I mean, what I like about this story is A, him saying, we had great chemistry. We hit it off. So naturally, I went back to her house. And then the story ends there. He's in a house full of Venezuelan teenage prostitutes, supposedly. And then he's just like, but he's like, but girls, it's Sunday. What are you doing dressed up so sexy? And they're like, it's a living. We got to eat. And then the story ends there. He doesn't say, I mean, like, because then it just leaves, like, okay, so what did he do then?
Well, he has a controversial new advisor, Noao Berletskino. I want to write about the Wonder Woman. She bring a body negativity. And there is a harassment campaign against the haters. Her name is no relation to a living person.
you can say, yes, Bolsonaro is a monster, but he does not represent the marginalized. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, as long as you're talking about politicians and sex work, this is a perfect segue into the next story. Have you guys heard about, this is a bit of local news from here in New York. Have you heard about the guy who's running against Jerry Nadler on the Upper West Side?
The bald guy, right? Not Nadler.
The bald guy.
Yes. I know that he got it in recently.
Yes. Okay. This is a great story from the Upper West Side. Manhattan congressional candidate publishes a porn video to highlight his sex-positive platform. Mike Itkiss is running against Representative Jerry Nadler and wants to legalize sex work. So, complicated feelings about this story because Jerry Nadler is easily one of the worst Democrats in Congress. He's no good. I would love to get him out there.
He also shits his pants in public.
Yeah.
That's fine for me to do as just a regular Joe, but you're in Congress, sir.
You made it to Macy's, Matt. What are you talking about? You're not on Nadler status. Okay, so Matt, have you seen a picture of this guy?
I have, yeah. He looks
like
Steve
beefy
Wilkos.
Mark Strong.
Oh, yeah. Fucking black dress socks ass motherfucker.
he looks very appropriate to what he's actually doing. He looks like all the husbands in Real Sex. They're all like this. Like, disappointing. Disappointing block of cable ever.
I'm having flashbacks. I'm having PTSD from you saying this because I'm looking at him right now and I'm just imagining him just totally nude standing next to his wife who looks like a fucking leather handbag talking about how much they love swinging.
Real Sex, for people who are too young to remember, who have never had this problem because they grew up with phones, it was this program on HBO where if you were 12 or 13 and your friend was over and it was like, oh my God, there's porn on TV. It's called Real Sex.
Yep.
And it's like rated M and the little Comcast guide. And you turn it on and yeah, it was all like bald 60-year-old men having orgies with like their wives who looked like if Beverly D'Angelo had an immune problem.
Hey,
to anyone who was on that show.
They're all dead now.
Yeah, they are. They were 60 years old in 2002.
They all got MRSA from like rubber sheets that they were using during their orgies.
They're the first people to die of diphtheria in America for like 100 years.
It was all stuff like, you were hoping to see pornography. And then what you saw was like a swingers retreat, but for people who like to be in mud. And roll around in a big mud pit or paint each other erotically.
Yeah. It was a bunch of old men who just like went to jack off classes. This is one I remember watching this. It's like, this has got to be some sort of prank or psychological experiment to see how long you can get a horny teenager to watch something. in the hope that there will be a boob maybe sometime and keep them watching something. And it was like old men who just sat around and like talked about different ways to jack off.
And like, that I'm watching this going, I already know, just show me some boobs.
Yeah. Like I got that part covered. I don't need any fucking tips.
These kids today,
ammunition.
We've talked about it before, but these kids today, they don't understand the struggle.
They do not.
Real sex was like,
they're not making it out.
Yeah, real sex was like really, I guess that was the silent generation trying to make its mark.
Remember us.
Stain.
Yeah.
Make it stain.
Well, now one of them has a broken containment from the 90s and is doing sex tapes in order to run for Congress.
Yeah, reading from the article here, it says, in a grunt for attention, a little editorializing, I'm sorry, a little editorializing, supposedly this news article, third-party congressional candidate Mike Itkiss has released a sex tape to highlight his sex-positive campaign platform. The 53-year-old Army Cyber Operations Officer is bound to lose to Representative Jerry Nadler in Manhattan's 12th Congressional District. But he posted a 13-minute video to a popular online porn site of him having sex with porn performer Nicole Sage as a, quote, conversation piece, he told City and State. If I would just talk about it, it wouldn't demonstrate my commitment to the issue. And the fact I actually did it was a huge learning experience, and it actually influenced items on my platform. His issues include legalizing sex works and making sexual rights explicit. Do not rely on privacy or free speech rights, his campaign site reads, where sex positivity is just one of three campaign issues, which were all thin on details. Itkiss, whose bio identifies himself as not married, no kids, not celibate, atheist, also seems to take aim at child support payments, writing that men should not be required to support biological children without prior agreement. So, okay, look. Jerry Nadler would very much like to see him challenged from the left in Manhattan's 12th congressional district. But I like that this guy's vision of sex positivity is like, I would like to legally fuck a whore, please. And I would like more pimps and brothels, please. And it's just like, I don't think that's necessarily what sex workers are asking for when they talk about decriminalization.
I would like to be able to get my nut off whenever and wherever I would like.
And also, if I knock a broad up, I mean, hey, I didn't consent to getting her pregnant. I don't want to pay for this kid.
Yeah, not my problem.
So, Itkiss said the video titled "Bucket List Bonanza." Bucket List Bonanza in 2021 was his first time having sex on camera. And insists that he's not an exhibitionist. I'm very much an introvert, the very liberal registered Democrat said. I'm kind of a nerd who doesn't like to be the center of attention if I can avoid it. But I thought the issues I'm trying to address are so important, I wanted to have my issues talked about in some way.
Well, he succeeded there. Well, congratulations.
Well, okay.
Everyone's talking.
Yeah.
He's got the conversation going.
On one of the stories that was shared of this news article on Twitter, people have dug into the Pornhub comments on the Bucket List Bonanza clip. And here are just a few reviews. Meh. I was hoping for more action. The camera angles suck and no money shot. Come on, man. If you want to run for Congress, learn how to fuck one person before you try to fuck millions.
Boom.
Boom. Okay. And also, I'm sorry.
Oh, is that Bill Hicks? He's bad.
I'm sorry. No cum shot? I can't jack off to this. You want me to vote for you? What the fuck?
I mean, if this is going to be your thing, you'd think you'd put more into it, you know, including your jizz.
I think that the worst thing to hear on your sex tape is like kind of just like, boring.
Meh.
It's worse than like, oh, I threw up to this. Because that means that someone out there is jacking off to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Nobody jacks off to meh. That's the one thing that is not by definition not a fetish.
I also like in the comments, it devolved into a bit of a nothing worse than when the comment section in Pornhub devolves into politics, you know.
Oh, I hate that.
So
keep my politics out of my Pornhub comments, please.
One comment from user Trump Slim Penis writes, "You fuck like a Republican. Points, though, for going down on her, which Republican men just do not do." A reply from Saxman22. Have you ever dated a Democrat slash feminist? Everything offends them, and sex is like a political statement to them. In my experience, conservative and libertarians are more real with who they are and have no chip on the shoulder and are much more fun in bed. Is he talking about men or women?
I don't know.
And then just Chris Sticklier writes, oh, yes, they do. I don't know what she's agreeing with there. But so, yeah. Bucket list. Scratch that item off the list. Yeah, he's fucking on camera.
I just can't believe that the mask's father would do this.
I did check out his campaign platform, and in addition to the I'd like a whore now, please, part of his sex positivity platform, he does want to end the war in Ukraine. So,
okay,
Tucker,
that's good.
Are you listening? Invite him on the show.
Can we
he's
bring
not afraid
these
to talk
two together? These two subjects somehow?
Something tells me that's a very secondary issue to him.
Yeah. I think if there was like, if he's in Congress and like Pelosi is like trying to get him to support, you know, another $7 zillion to Ukraine, he'd be pretty easy to buy off.
Do you guys remember the rumor about Kevin McCarthy, like fucking that very real sex looking Republican?
Yeah. And it was apparently like an open secret on Capitol Hill that like what he was cheating on his wife with another guy's wife or something like that.
It's very quaint that like his speakership was derailed by that, by fucking like another 50-year-old.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Kevin McCarthy, you know, Republican whip. Do you think he eats pussy, though? Because according to Trump's slim penis, Republican men do not eat pussy.
I could see it being like a once a year thing, like Uncle Junior.
Yeah, like a birthday deal.
Yeah. Why would you, if you're a woman, why would you even want that? Like,
It must feel like a monitor lizard sort of probing you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably putting like a paper mask over his face to like not look at it because he thinks it looks gross. Like, probably the two worst ways to get your pussy eaten are like sort of like an unenthusiastic 62-year-old Republican or
an overly enthusiastic like Labrador retriever going at like a bowl of kibble.
Yeah, one of those guys who's always talking about how much he loves to eat pussy. Like one of those like thick glasses and wrestling guys.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, if Michael Douglas is right, cancer would be worth it. And he's just, you have to figure they're just like, they're just going at it with the enthusiasm of like a 6-month-old kitten and a bowl of milk. Just all over the place. Doesn't matter what they hit.
Hold on. I'm looking up the Mike Itkiss sex tape on Pornhub. Ooh, Mike Itkiss, he's got his own page here. One video uploaded.
Okay.
Mike, directed by Nicole Sage.
Now this whole thing is just a ploy to boost his OnlyFans.
Oh boy. Yeah, he's really going at it. It's just, but like this angle is just his butt.
Oh god,
his butt spazzing out.
Come on, man.
It's like, that's, I mean, like her legs are spread very wide, but it's his butt. Like I'm not seeing any real stroke game or pumping. It's just his butt kind of spazzing out.
Do you see his dick at all?
Oh yeah, I'm seeing his dick now. He's getting head. He's getting topped off right now. Okay, now she's doing some classic cowgirl. All right.
Since he's running against Jerry Nadler on the Upper West Side, I'm assuming he's circumcised.
Is he?
Okay, I'm gonna try to get. I will get an answer to this. Okay, now he's eating pussy. Now it's just his butt spazzing out again.
Come on, man. We learned 69 years position. Ago. Not that the ass angle is not what people want.
Okay, now it's just she's sort of face to face, but on top, and sort of she's riding him. Not a very good. You can't see any dick though.
Yeah, what kind of pipe is he working with?
You know, the pipe doesn't seem terrible, I gotta say.
Okay.
But it's just the angles aren't very good here. But you know what? This is his first time. This is his first time fucking on camera. You know, it's just like it's a camera set up in the corner. There's only one angle that can be conceived, that can be like, you know, held because there's not a cameraman there to like, you know, get any up close shots, or the pop or the cum shot. You know, so that's disappointing. But, you know, like I say, you know, for a first time effort, you know, I gotta say, not bad.
Well, I'm looking forward to his future endeavors.
I mean, he's not pleasant to look at. He's just eyebrows. He's got no hair on him other than eyebrows.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at him. He looks like his look is kind of like a defense attorney on SVU who's saying that like his client shouldn't be executed because he revealed the location of the body.
All right, well, best of luck to him, and cheers to Jerry Nadler. Stop shitting yourself, dude. Oh, God, can you imagine Jerry Nadler, just his ass just spazzing out? Just laying, getting in there. Just,
especially since he's lost all the weight. So, you know, like, yeah, all the skin is like puddling around his waist.
Just like drapes hanging off.
He's got a flesh hula hoop at all times.
Oh, God damn it.
He could probably, like turn the excess flesh from his thighs into a flesh partition so you can't actually see the penetration.
Thank God for that. Okay, so I guess, too many good segues, but I want to go right. I want to go back across the pond to another UK item. That was a controversial news item burning up the internet this week. Basically, some wretched Oliver Twist style urchins threw their gruel at a Van Gogh painting. They tried to ruin Van Gogh's sunflowers with gruel because they wanted more gruel. No, it's because they wanted to end oil now, and you know people are very upset about this. Guys, Van Gogh, classy or trashy? Need it or keep it? Van Gogh sunflowers. Need it or keep it?
I mean, they didn't even do anything to it. That's like, it does. It seems like we're at this place where like things are designed for maximal shock value. But even then, like there is this resistance to, you know, pushing past some idea of propriety, like very British. It feels like we still don't want to upset things too much, even though we want to give the impression that we're like at the end of our rope and we're finally saying no to this carbon society that's killing us. They're just like, yeah, but like actually ruin a painting. No. We'll put some soup on the frame, basically. And then people will talk about it. And then the talking about it will, what exactly? I still don't get how.
Right, right.
Don't we have all the awareness?
Yeah, that's the defense of it I've seen. That people are like, oh, well, you're talking about it. And it's like.
No, people are talking about how annoying these fucking kids are.
Well, yeah, but they're like, that's the tactic, was to get you to talk about it. But it's like, no, people know about this. They just don't like thinking about it. We're at maximum penetration for awareness, believe me. This is just like as aware as people seem they want to be about it, because they kind of rightfully pick out that they seem pretty powerless in the face of it.
Yeah, like at a certain point, if there's no clear path to take your awareness of something, then the rational thing to do is to kind of just try to tune it out, which, you know, as a media consumer, you are free to do. Then you can turn any, you know, thing that makes you have to think about it for a minute into a kind of meta discussion like this, for example.
Yeah. I mean, there are stages to the climate thing. It's like grief. Like one of the stages is this, like the idea that like, oh, just people have to know about it. Then everything changes. It's like an outgrowth of that like late 90s, early 2000s thing that if you just solve money and politics, everything else follows.
Yeah.
But after that comes the sort of self-flagellating thing, the first worlders being like, we're all going to die, us especially in America.
Yeah,
because
right.
isn't that always how it works? The people who are most culpable die first.
Right.
But no one has quite reached the stage that like, even in the end of the world, you're still you. You're still who you are. You have your same desires and fears, and you still probably have your stupid job. But the thing that you have to live with will be your government probably just gunning down more boats of refugees than you've ever seen in your life. And you have to figure out what that means to you.
Yeah.
That is a stage no one quite wants to get to.
Well, you said that the idea here is that, you know, if people don't want to think about climate change and about how, you know, the carbon and petroleum is killing the planet and going to, you know, cause the extinction of civilization, well, then you certainly shouldn't be allowed to think about Van Gogh and his fucking flowers. Well, I'll say the museum and the Van Gogh estate, this is a perfect, perfect example of why NFTs are so important.
It's true.
Because if they had made sunflowers into a blockchain-backed NFT, then they could piss on it themselves. They could fucking put it through a shredder. It doesn't matter. It's on the blockchain now. And in fact, it's better because now it can be customizable. It's in Meta now, and you can deface it in Meta.
Yeah. I mean, there are legs now. You can kick it. what do you guys think about like the idea that this is like a false flag? Because I do.
Okay. I was just going to bring that up.
I definitely think that like a lot of Extinction Rebellion shit is false flag.
The British, the entire British anti-climate change movement that's kind of popped up very quickly and is like not even hiding it, but is explicitly funded in a lot of cases by like hedge funds.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay, let me
certainly okay. Eyebrow raising.
The activist group who did the gruel splattering. Would you take a guess at who is one of the major funders of the
Getty
Action Network? Yes, it is the Getty heiress. It is one of the largest oil fortunes in the world is funding this like umbrella network of quote grassroots activist groups that finance high profile direct actions like this all over the globe.
Okay, now,
have to wonder whether the heiress to one of the world's largest oil fortunes has any vested interest in making any activism against the oil industry seem like this done by fucking spoiled brats and annoying children.
No, that's more immaterial to me than some of the stuff with Extinction Rebellion and their links to, like, MI5 and shit like that. Okay, what do we know about people who inherit or happen into billions of dollars? Like, look at Steve Jobs' widow. Or Mackenzie Bezos. They don't know what the fuck is going on because
they feel guilty. They feel bad. And they want to do something about it. It's indulgences.
Right. What is Mackenzie Bezos giving like billions of dollars to? It's always like the BIPOC puppet theater. It's just like the fucking goofiest and shittiest NGO she can find because she feels guilty. I don't think this is quite a gotcha with them because if I had to guess over what this Getty heiress is like, I would presume like a guilty college graduate, probably college than average, who's like, oh my God, I have to find. Good activism means never being comfortable or some other thing that she saw like on a chalkboard. Yeah. And so she went, what's the least comfortable seeming activism? It's these soup girls. here's $1 million. I think with Extinction Rebellion, I think there's more smoke and fire when there's like active links to the security state than when it's just like a goofy heiress, in my opinion.
I mean, the thing is, this is where we are. You have a situation where if this Getty heiress is some Captain Planet villain trying to discredit climate change activism, or a fully earnest person who genuinely does with all of her heart want to fix this. At least she thinks she does. The result would be the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Many such cases. Many such cases.
And, you know, what is the solution to climate activism? What is the maximally effective way to do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, people talk about like the need to do, the real question and the one that is difficult to talk about is at what point, if you're like really committed, do you have to accept that there's nothing that you can do that you could really talk about, if you know what I mean? You know, there's nothing that you could do that you could organize around publicly. And that is very challenging because one, that's really, I mean, the discourse is where we gain our political like consciousness these days. So like having to organize outside of it is a huge challenge. And also it implies a degree of risk that most people, no matter how bad they think things are going to get, don't really want to deal with. I mean, like I said, they didn't even actually ruin the painting. You know, it's like there's this line that people who really care about climate change aren't going to cross, because the people who worry about climate change qua climate change are the people who realistically are not going to be truly affected by it in their lifetime, probably, you know. So their sacrifice is not even like the desperate gambit of somebody who knows like the future is going to be worse than anything they can imagine, so they might as well do something. It's probably not the case. I mean, they're probably acting out of a abstract sense of, you know, a global citizenry that they're trying to stand up for. But, you know, that's a hard thing to square with personal sacrifice at this point in our history.
I think that if I have to take a wild guess, who are the most effective environmental activists, it would probably be the people that the federal government threw the fucking book at. From the mid 90s to the early 2000s.
Like, you know, like the so-called eco-terrorists.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, set like SUVs. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, property destruction or things like that. But yeah, like, you know, like, I mean, like the shit, like the, they put people in jail for filming inside of slaughterhouses.
Yeah. I would have to guess that it's the people who had the maximum amount of state resources and persecution thrown at them. The people that Robert Mueller that is usually his career.
They put the hammer down where they think they need to, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I hope these bloody tossers get the book thrown at them. I hope they should be cleaning up paintings for the rest of their life.
Like, did you Dana Barrett and Ghostbusters too?
Did you see the one of the things on this was someone going like, "Oh, I saw this and I was Googling to see if Van Gogh was a colonizer and he wasn't."
What are you talking about? He colonized the south of France by he was painting all of their fucking landscapes and then claiming it for himself back in fucking Holland. Don't give me that Van Gogh wasn't a colonizer shit.
He did that potato eaters painting. He never ate a potato. That's appropriation.
Oh, and his good friend Gauguin. Oh, you better believe he was a colonizer. You better believe he was a colonizer.
Yes, that's some colonizing there.
Facts.
That's some real stuff.
Arles, he wasn't from Arles. He was being a tourist there, and he was not supporting the local community.
I think everyone should always feel bad for Van Gogh because what a shitty life.
It's true.
Yeah, like take
another annoying mentally ill person. Get out of here, buddy. Stop bothering me.
Okay, no, he was not an annoying mentally ill guy because he didn't have access to mass communication.
I mean, and he was probably annoying to that chick he sent his ear to.
Yeah. He was just, okay. Individual communication was annoying enough.
Okay. How come we don't know what she did?
She might have thought, oh my God, that's the most romantic thing I've ever seen.
Well, what if she had been like, I'll go out with you if you cut off your ear. And that's lost to time. And we only know him as the sad ear guy.
It's possible.
The patron saint of guys who are like, if you leave me, I'll kill myself. But much more talented. Who's to say? Was Van Gogh like one of those emo guys who's always trying to grab his girlfriend's wrist in public and scream "Wait"? Or was he a sensitive artist who was tricked into cutting off his ear and grossing everyone out by an evil woman? Welcome to my next true crime series. Van Gogh tricked by an evil woman.
All right, well, I guess to close out the show today, I have a Twitter thread here that I'd like to share with you guys. This is a very interesting Twitter thread over the weekend. And just the first tweet in the thread says, this is from Yehong Zhu, and she writes, "As a venture-backed founder, I frequently get asked what I do on a day-to-day basis. In case you were wondering, here's a day in the life of a startup founder in Silicon Valley," a thread. Now, before I get into the thread, I just want to just share her Twitter bio with you. It says, founder, Zet Media, Miss Venice, USA, 2022. Formerly product, Twitter, journalism at Forbes, philosophy at Harvard. So I had to look up what Zet Media is. Zet Media advertises itself as bringing down the barriers to real news. And it bills itself as the Netflix of articles. So, Felix, I know you'll be thrilled to hear there is now a Netflix for articles. And what Zet is that for like a subscription fee of something like $20 a month, you can bypass payrolls and get like 15 articles a month.
That's not enough not for payroll. A real article.
That's not a lot of, that's like barely holding off withdrawals for most article heads. Also, I want to point out that's already what Apple News is. They want to compete with Apple News, the thing that comes with your phone that article heads already use. Holy shit, how did she get investors?
Welcome to Zet, a browser extension.
Because she's grinding. She grinds, as we'll find out.
Wait a second. Welcome to Zet, a browser extension that lets you read articles behind paywalls. Okay, my browser already has something that lets me do that. It's called incognito mode. Fuck. We partner with media publications to get you the best journalism without barriers. Join our waitlist now to get free article credits. Zet.com.
That's how dealers get you. They give you your first show free.
You got these people out here like, just come on, man. Just
got that
more.
New Republic. Just New Republic. More. Atlantic. New Republic. All right, so let's dig into a day in the life of a venture-backed founder of Zet Media. Okay. Day begins. One. Our beta for Zet Media is launching soon, and engineering needs final approval from product. I pore over the Figma mocks, greenlighting the ones I want to use for our upcoming beta launch. Wow, our designer is so talented. I like the subtle use of newsprint gray. So this is her first task for the day, is doing the Eric Trump thing of looking at three magazine covers and going, I like that one.
Yeah.
I like the subtle use of gray input in this one. So all the work already accomplished, she just points. I like that.
Yeah,
like
this is, there. It's already sounding very similar to the life of a Montessori student. We're going to give you a bunch of colors and you point at the one that you feel like.
Okay, two. I get an email that our Zet water bottles are ready for pickup. We've been ordering a lot of swag lately for conferences. Unfortunately, they're nowhere to be found. Maybe the package room needs a day to process the shipment. I decide that this is the most logical conclusion. Okay, so that's a thought you had in your head after looking at emails. That's like 30 seconds of your day right there, at most.
That is, yeah, that's only stressful if your mind is just blank most of the time.
Oh.
If you have no internal monologue.
I have to have thoughts again? God damn it.
That would be very difficult if you were like a dog.
Three, I go to pick up my new business cards instead. They are slightly ruined by the printers, and our brand color is an off green instead of highlighter yeller. They are slightly ruined by the printers, and our brand color is an off green instead of highlighter yellow. Okay, not ideal. I ping my chief of staff about getting a refund. He'll have to sort this out later. Okay, so like he'll be doing the work there. That's it. That's what he'll be doing for his day, is getting the correct business cards. Four, marketing asks when I have time to go over our TikTok strategy. I slack them sometimes. I've never posted on TikTok, but I'm committed to becoming a hashtag influencer for Zet. I only have 2 followers right now, but hey, everyone starts somewhere. She includes the link to her TikTok. I would like a clock telling us like how much of the day has transpired so far. Is it an hour to lunch yet or what?
Yeah, I would love to see like the Goodfellas montage of her day.
Five. My director of ops has a draft of conference materials to review. She's cleverly created flyers that look like newspapers, very on brand. After a few round of edits, it is beginning to look more and more like the front page of a newspaper. I promise her final edits by end of day. This is just other people doing work. This is six. Next up, building relationships with journalists. I send a couple of emails about our upcoming launch at TechCrunch Disrupt. I start to miss my own days in the newsroom. A TechCrunch journalist is asking about our product. Wait, I can totally send our media kit. I update our media kit in DocSend with our recent press hits, and I read it again before sending. Wow, we've come a long way since 2020. Feels good. Also, we've got a ton of press. Shout out to Joshua Q. Yang and Ariel KK3 for being media savants. Eight, I open my inbox and a bunch of investors have emailed me asking about our round. Yikes, the deck's not ready. How do I defer without being rude? I snooze on all their emails. I make a mental note to respond next week. Yes, we'll open our raise right after Disrupt. So this sounds sort of like how I work.
Yeah, the first thing she actually has to do,
she doesn't
do it. She can't delegate to someone else. She's like, I'll do it later.
I mean, honestly, the day in the life of being a venture-backed startup leader sounds a lot like my day. Sounds a lot like what I do during a day. Check Twitter. Ooh, I got a DM. The group chat has things to say. I'll check those later. I'll throw
Can't even respond to the group chat? Damn, come on. That's a responsibility we all have as citizens.
11 a.m. to 4 p.m. I look through women's media grids. I've downloaded, I've every day at the end of my Twitter session, I download a data file of all my followers. I go into Excel and do Control F and just type in women's names. It's women are always being named new things. So it's hard to remember new things to search for. Women named stuff like Sarah and Rachel are going to be in their 30s. Gross. Instead, I have to look for names that start with an MC. McCrenda, Michaela, McGludu, McGlutton, McBrooklyn, McLebron, Lay Bisexual, Lay China, Lay Fixed Game, Lay Fake League.
Nine, I open up Figma again and finally face my demons. 3 separate versions of investor decks, all completely different. How am I supposed to reconcile so many pitch decks? How do I overcome my pitch deck paralysis? I stare in agony at the slides. Agony. Again, like, I'd like to know how long that took. 10, for mental relief, I checked my schedule for tomorrow. At Mercury's inviting me to a private fundraising event. The itinerary looks packed, and there's a tea bar, just what I needed. I introduced myself to the other founders on Slack. A few of them signed up for Zet's waitlist. 11, my mother pings me on WeChat. You said you were top 5 in something. Can you send an article to me? Yes, Mom, I'm in the top 5 startups to watch by Built in LA. I'm so proud of you, she says. I tear up a bit. Okay, this is stealing company time right now. I just want to be clear about that. She is answering personal emails on company time. If I was one of her investors, I'd be fucking furious right now.
Yeah, no.
You can text your mom back after work. Mm-hmm.
So far, this is reminding me of when Tony Soprano talks about how hard he works. And it's just, just him in the back of a strip club for 8 hours watching TV. Like telling some other fat guy to go like beat up a guy who owes gambling money.
This is football season. How many games I gotta watch?
This is so Tony Soprano. Oh, I fucking earned this key bar.
12. I open up Twitter to procrastinate on my deck. Once again, this sounds very much like my work day. I wonder if other people would be interested in my life. What does a founder do anyway? Does my team know? Does anybody know? It suddenly feels really important to tweet this. I open a Google Doc and start to type. So this whole tweet thread about what she does at work during a day is a way of avoiding work, which is honestly, that's a great strategy.
She's kind 13. Of awesome.
Okay. This is at 13. Try to remember like 1 through 12. She goes, I look up in shock that the sun is setting. Jesus, how is it already 6:37 p.m.? I feel like I haven't even started the work I needed to do today. I open up B-Reel to post the pretty sunset. Wow, their product is so good. I am envious that they have 53 million installs. 14. One day Zet will get there too, but only if I get back to work. Tweet all / end.
So she didn't achieve anything. She didn't do anything.
She did absolutely nothing.
Holy shit.
Look, I know we get accused all the time of having a make-believe bullshit job that we get way too much money for. And like, that's true.
Certainly.
But don't tell me these tech startup fucking imbeciles have anything different than what we do for a living. Okay. In fact, if anything, we're vastly more productive than this fucking bird brain.
It's true. Yeah. At least we create audio articles for people to enjoy. We don't just like give you access to somebody else's articles that they have to read.
Yeah. Think about our smile per minute rate.
Yes.
Yeah. So many smiles.
SPMs.
Yeah. By the way,
so many angel investors, when you get them in a room, they want to hear about one thing and one thing only. What's your SPM?
We have one of the highest SPMs in the business.
That's like, smiles.
When this woman is posting, it's just bullshit. It's her avoiding work. When I'm posting, I'm building our smile rate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. When I post something that's like, I agree with all people who were ever held captive, that's increasing our smile rate. When I post, I think that the people on the LA City Council recordings made some good points. Smile rate goes up.
That's increasing our smile through.
Yeah. When I post, Jewish women are born with tails. Smile rate goes up.
Our smile through is when people keep smiling after they've listened to us, though. Or if they're like, yeah. Or if they're thinking about one of our witty japes, like later in the day, they might just go, that's a smile through. That's worth 5 times SPM.
Yeah. What do you think What do you think the smile rate for the fucking shitty article app is? Probably zero.
Negative.
Yeah, no smiles.
It's like
a negative
smile rate.
Yeah. Because the articles are like, you know, is your wife in the second trimester of her pregnancy? You're already behind on getting your kid into prestigious kindergartens.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to do. You know, name your kid after the headmaster of the kindergarten.
I don't know. I might consider Zet to gain access to certain things that the incognito mode doesn't. It's not strong enough for, like, you know, like the real uncut Dear Prudy articles you have to be a member of Slate Plus to gain access to. If Zet could get me the plug on Slate Plus for probably more than Slate Plus actually costs, I would consider it.
I'm blown away. This is literally a product that exists.
Yeah.
an incredibly easy to use product that like everyone. My grandmother was born in 1920, and I think she uses Apple News. but you know, good luck to her, and especially
good luck to her and her productivity and all that. I'm looking forward to all the articles and all the posts that she's going to make while not doing any work.
Yeah, what do you think if you? What are you thinking when you're one of her investors and see that fucking
person? Yeah, you need to do a coup. You need to get her ass off of
that. No, you say that, but I guarantee you, if any of her investors read that Twitter thread, they were like, wow, this is really good SEO, or this is what I do all day at work. You know,
that's true. Like, oh, yeah, they're not doing anything
brand
more
out there. Yeah, they're not doing it. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Nobody
does any work anymore, especially if you have a well-paying job. Yeah,
top,
if you have a very well-paying job, the chances that you're doing any work of a day is astronomically small.
Look at how bad doctors are now.
Yeah.
They're shit.
Well, should we wrap it up for today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
One more time, October 30th, Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. We'll be on stage with a certain stand-up comic whose crowd work you may know and love, and the band Donzi. And just once again, a special shout out to all the bands that have opened for us on tour. They've all been fantastic. Solips, LA Witch, 95 Bulls, and then coming up in Fort Lauderdale, Donzi. They've been really one of the best things about this current tour. All credit due to the god Chris Wade. So tickets still available for our Florida show on chapotraphouse.com/live. Gentlemen,
bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Memories, smile. Even when I'm gone and you remember me, smile. Good times never fade away, smile. Even if I'm not with you here today, smile. Good morning, smile. Your friendly announcer.